Hello and welcome. I have a story for you today about how I spent 8 years on my belly under the house. And you'll find out why. But not only that, more importantly, you'll find out what I've learned about it 30 years later when the memory popped up and I decided to do a deep dive. Stay tuned. Welcome to Becoming Lauren. I'm your host, Cheryl Ann. Hang out with me weekly as I share my journey to becoming Lauren, who, by the way, is my superpower, the goddess in me. She has and holds boundaries, she stands in her own power, and she speaks her truth. She is a badass. I'm sharing what's working, what I've learned along the way, and my guests will share how they made the leap as well, all with the goal of inspiring you to find and embrace your inner goddess too. Let's do this thing. Okay, so the other day it was really quite chilly outside and I went to turn on the water in the kitchen, like turn on the faucet, and I had a moment there where I thought it just wasn't going to come on. The water wasn't going to come on. Now, it really wasn't that cold outside, not like the pipes have ever frozen in the house I live in now. But what it did was it pulled up a memory from, it wasn't a good memory, from, oh goodness, over 30 years ago now. And it's funny how that happens. We have triggers. And for me, because I spent years under my house, and the reason was because the pipes would freeze in the house that I bought. And so the faucet itself was a trigger, the cold weather and the faucet together. It's funny how our mind works and pops those memories into our mind. Now, normally that would be just a momentary, like, oh yeah, I remember that, and I'd be on with my day. But it's funny that this time with this memory and this trigger, I actually stopped to think about it and wonder, okay, you know, that trigger, what is different now than then? What did I learn anything from that experience years ago? Because I had not really thought about it since then. So I wondered, is this coming up for a reason? So a little backstory. I was 30, 31, and I was a single mother and I had two small kids. So my son was 4, I believe, and my daughter was 8. So there's 4.5 years between them. And so I had really wanted a house. I was traveling a fair distance to work and I wanted to be able to buy a house in the same city as where I was working. So I had been renting and moving around and I really wanted a house. And I'm not even sure, I can't quite remember how it all came about. But this woman, I started working with this real estate agent who actually went to some, I don't know if they were great lengths, but definitely some lengths to get me, a single mother with one income, into a house, into home ownership. And I really wanted it badly. So the time came for this house came up and I could afford it. I mean, the down payment I didn't have, but, you know, that's the lengths that she went to. She helped me sort that out so that even though the insurance company expected you to have a 10% down payment or something, she bent a couple of rules for me. And that was wonderful. And she said, you know what? It's a go. Let's go. And I was so excited. It really meant a lot to me to be able to afford my own home and to do it on my own as a single mother, you know, to be able to have a home for my children and, you know, something for all my hard work. It was something I really, really wanted. So I was very excited. So here's the funny part is that back then, you know, 30 years ago, I hadn't begun my personal development. I hadn't, even though at that point in my life, I really was sick of being, you know, a marshmallow and basically following everybody else's rules and not speaking up and not asking for what I wanted because I was afraid to upset the apple cart, as my mother used to say. So I knew that even though I didn't know a whole lot about home ownership, I did know that one of the things that you should always do is have a building inspector look at the property before you sign on the dotted line. And I brought it up to the real estate agent. And what I didn't know at that time that I was soon to find out was that she was working with somebody who was also a real estate agent, and they would buy houses really cheap and then fix them up, put some what do you call that, surface work on it, and then flip it really quickly. And I didn't know at the time, like I said, but I did find out afterwards that that was the case. So of course, when them working together, they knew all the secrets of the property. This was a wartime house. I should tell you that as well, because it was really old. And so there was a lot of cosmetic stuff done on the fly and on the cheap, and they were looking to flip it pretty quickly. So when I asked for a building inspector to be able to see it before I put in an offer, I let her talk me out of it. My intuition told me that I really should get this. And but because, I was conditioned to be a people pleaser, I really had some issues with codependency back then. I let her talk me out of it because I didn't want to have it all fall through. I didn't want it to fall through. It was really important to me. I've learned better now. I've so learned better now, but I just, I didn't want to hurt her feelings, by insisting, and I didn't want it to fall through. And I think my gut was trying to tell me that it would. But anyway, dot dot dot, I did buy the house without having a building inspector see the house at all. What that meant was that there were some issues, and one of the issues was that the pipes would freeze every winter. Every winter they would freeze. And so the first time that it happened, and this is where I got the flash, back to today, or like a couple days ago, I went to let get some water, fill the kettle for my morning coffee, and nothing came out of the faucet. And I was like, oh, dang. Okay, it was really cold, so I figured out, of course, that the pipes were frozen. And so I called my boyfriend at the time, and he said, okay, well, you're just gonna have to go under the house. There was no basement, I'll just preface it to say, so I could get under the house. There was a crawl space, and I had looked in there before. Of course, after I'd bought the house, I was checking everything out. And there was this little trap door at the back of the house. And some of you will know this if you know me, and others won't, but I have this real thing about spiders. I think next to public speaking, spiders is one of the most well-known phobias. So I know you're probably with me on that one. But yeah, dark spaces, basements, anywhere spiders hang out, I don't. Not my idea of a good time. But you know what? It was my house and I was going to fix this problem. It never occurred to me to call a plumber. And the reason for that was like very likely because looking back, money was tight. I was a single mother and I now owned a home. I did have a full-time job and it was a good paying job. But there were a lot of bills and whatnot that come along with a new house, and of course that come along with children. So like calling a plumber, I knew those guys were pretty expensive. So I was like, no, I'm gonna do this. And so I threw on a snowsuit, basically snow pants and a big jacket, and I put on a balaclava. one of those things, the masks that you pull down right over your head. So all that's showing is your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Actually, not even your nose. I think just your mouth. So I didn't want anything touching me because when under the house, it was really, when you first got in the crawl space, I could kneel there. But as you get further in under the house, there was like all these rocks. There was like no insulation under there. No wonder the pipes froze. So you actually have to, I could crawl on my hands and knees for a little bit. And then I actually had to get on my belly. I had to actually like, it makes me think of, you know, when, I don't know, what was that, Rambo? And you know, he's like using his elbows and dragging himself through the marsh. That's what I was doing under my house with my blowtorch. I had a little blowtorch because I'm just pretty handy like that. So I had my little blowtorch and I am like trying to find the water pipe, you know, that goes into the house. And I found it and I had opened up all the faucets in the house because my boyfriend did tell me that. He says, make sure you open all the faucets. So I did do that. And so I found the pipe and I turned on the blowtorch and I, you know, very quickly, actually, after I started heating up the pipe, and I could see where the pipe went into the house and I could see where the pipe went out, like went into the ground. So I started heating it up and very soon I could hear the water come on in the house upstairs. It was that really well insulated that I could actually hear the kitchen faucet start sputtering and then the water flowing out. So then I had to try and maneuver and turn around, shut off the blowtorch and turn around and like elbow my way back out to where I could crawl the rest of the way on my hands and knees and then haul myself out of the little hole in the foundation and out into the snow. So that was my first time. I ended up having to do this several times a year when it got really cold. And I would always deck myself out the same way because, like I said, spiders. And never did I think about calling a plumber. Like I said, I mean, I won't say that I never thought about it because whenever it would happen, I would be like, oh man. I just, my kids would come home and they'd be like, mom. And then they'd hear me through the, like from underneath the house going, I'm down here. So the kids got used to, they would call out and then they'd end up throwing down their stuff and running out to the back going, mom, are you okay in there? But they knew because it became quite a normal thing. But I have to say there was a little bit of pride there that, you know what? Yeah. Look what I can do. I can take care of stuff all by myself. I don't need anybody to help me. And I'll discuss that later. So just imagine, like I actually owned the house for 8 years and at least 2 to 3 times per winter, I had to do this. And it, I mean, once I saw underneath, I definitely kicked myself for not getting the building inspector to check out the place first. However, in retrospect, I still wouldn't have given up the opportunity to own my own home. I would have said, oh, that's okay. I'll deal with that. Because I just didn't want it to slip away. And yeah, divine timing. I've learned better since then. Sometimes it's better to wait. Maybe there's something even better waiting for you, but I did it anyway. So 1 year I could not get the pipe unfrozen. And I was under the house for hours and it was cold and the blowtorch, I would just make back and forth and back and forth over this, like, I don't know, 6-7 foot stretch there. I would just go back and forth in sections and, listen for the water to come on and it never did. And I was like crying. I was crying under the house. I mean, I'm surprised the tears didn't freeze my eyes shut because, oh, I was so upset. The kids had come home and I was under there long after they got home. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to, I don't know, maybe call a plumber. So, I think it was the next day. Somebody had said to me, actually, I was talking to my boyfriend, I think, And he had said, well, you know what? If you heated up the water pipe and it wasn't the water pipe, like it didn't come on, then it's probably frozen somewhere from at the main, like somewhere between the road and where it comes into your house. Like it's frozen under the ground. And I'm like, oh, no way, dude, man. That would be really, really bad. They can't lift the house. How would they ever get that unthawed? We can't live without, running water. So anyway, I called the city and explained the problem to them, and they said, well, what they could do is come and dig up on my lawn. They could dig up my lawn and figure out where the frozen part was, and maybe they could do something about it from under the ground, like once they dug under the ground. So it was a couple days, and so we were using Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons for bathroom, buying bottled water and stuff like that, and using the neighbor's bathroom when it was an emergency. Thank goodness for neighbors. And they came out and they dug up my front lawn, a big, big hole in my front lawn. And I thought, well, you know what? If that's the price, to have running water, it is what it is. Well, they were very quick to tell me once they got down there that it was not frozen. And now I'm panicking. I'm like, oh my goodness, it must be then from the portion of where the pipe goes under the actual house. I mean, how am I ever going to get that fixed? They can't dig under there. I can barely even kneel under there. Like, I had no idea how this was going to get fixed. So, and now this was probably a year before I sold the house. So, I mean, I'd already been doing this for 7 years under the house, unthawing the pipe. And so, okay, so finally my boyfriend said to me, you're gonna have to call a plumber and get a plumber to come in and take a look at it. And I'm like, oh my God, how much is that gonna cost me? I started kind of like freaking out. And he said, you know what? You just gotta do what you gotta do. And I'm like, yes, I know. I'll just do what I gotta do. So I did. I called a plumber, and the plumber went in under the house, and in less than a minute from the time he went into the hole, the water was running. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I spent hours, literally hours, under the house this last time trying to unthaw the pipes, and I don't even know how he found it that quick to begin with. I mean, it took me a while. He comes back out of the hole and he goes, oh, I heard the water come on, so it's all fixed. That'll be $50. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what did you do? What did you do that I didn't do? He said, well, I just found the pipe and I heated it up. And he said, and it came on immediately. I'm like, okay, all right, well, how did you know which part of the pipe was frozen? He says, well, there's only like what, a whole 4 inches of the pipe. I just ran the blowtorch up the pipe once and it came on. And I'm like, okay, wait. What do you mean 4 inches? The pipe is like, and I showed him with my hand, it's like, oh, probably about, I don't know, 4 inches in diameter, and it's about 6, 7 feet long. And he said, wait for it. He said, oh, no, that's not the water pipe. The water pipe is like, just looks like a piece of rebar. Like, it's really skinny. It's like not even an inch, half an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch in diameter. And I'm like, okay, so what have I been heating up for the last 7 years? And he told me I was heating up the sewer pipe, the pipe that comes down out of your house and runs across and then down and then goes in and joins the sewers. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I found where the sewer pipe was coming out. It looked like it, like from my estimation, it was coming right out from under the sink, but it was probably about 5, 6 feet from that and on the other side of a rock, so I never would have seen it. I had no idea what I was looking for. So after that, I'll tell you, he said, well, you really should wrap that pipe. You should have a, you know, you should wrap it, and then you won't have this problem anymore. Oh my God. So I did. I got the pipes wrapped. My boyfriend actually helped me with that one. And so I married him. That's funny. Yeah, I didn't marry him then, but I am married to him now, many years later. But he was my boyfriend at the time. So yes, that, my friends, is the story of really a money block. Another money block. You'll find this to be something that I'm working through still. Although I'm much, much better now than I ever was. Yeah. And okay, there's something else. There's something else here. And because really, you know what, I was a single mother and even $50 for a plumber, especially when you don't know what the problem is going to be. So it could be $50 times 10, who knows, was not really something as a single mother that I could really afford at the time. But the reason I think it's come up for me now, and it was a memory that kind of was triggered, is because I did read somewhere not that long ago that never asking for help is a trauma response. And I had never thought of that before I read that. And that makes sense to me now, is because when I was young, I do remember feeling abandoned, let down, disappointed in many, many ways. And I learned at a very young age that I should just take care of myself. Then I would never be disappointed if anybody said they were going to do something and didn't do it, or didn't support me in the way that I needed to or should have been supported. I did learn at a very young age that if you want it done, do it yourself. That's how it's going to get done. And I felt a sense of pride at being so strong and being so able to do anything that I needed for myself. And if I couldn't do it, then I wouldn't ask for help from anybody else. I just wouldn't do it. I'd find a way around it. So I'm learning now, though, that that is because I was let down and because I did feel alone and abandoned at times when I was young. And it's a trauma response. And here's another funny part of that, is that my boyfriend turned husband, when we were married, and he would ask me, you know, oh, you know, let me do that for you, you know, or let me help you with that. And I'd be like, no, I got it. And I did. I always did what I needed to do. And again, took pride from the fact that I could. And he said to me one day, he said, why don't you ever let me help you? And I said, well, why would I let you help me? I'm used to doing things on my own. I've done everything on my own for myself and for two children for, you know, 20 some odd years now. I don't need your help. And I didn't mean it in a harsh way. I just meant it in a, you know, I've got this sort of way. And he reminded me that as my husband, it made him feel good to be able to help me, and that maybe I should learn to accept help. And it kind of took me aback. I had never really thought of it from that perspective. So I decided at that point that I would allow him to help me, because I was still a people pleaser and I wanted him to feel good. So I allowed him to help me. But now I have changed my way of thinking about that. And when I don't know how to do something, I am putting myself out there and asking for people to help me. It's good for me and it's good for them. And I have learned that I can rely on people. It doesn't mean I'm weak. Asking for help is actually a really strong thing to do. And I don't need to do everything on my own anymore. So, and I'll tell you for sure, I definitely won't be on my elbows with the spiders, even though they were frozen and all, like, weird, like, you know, when their legs get all like weird, and you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if they hibernate or if they're dead. I don't know. I just know I don't want them on me, and I won't be going under any houses anymore. There are people who actually like to do that, and I'm not one of them. So I hope you enjoyed the story, and I hope you followed along with that, my thinking. I didn't write any notes for this episode. I thought I would just speak as it came and see how it flows. And normally I'm very much a squirrel and I'm all over the place. But I think I kind of, you know what? I might actually have told a linear story here. So I'll know when I edit it. Anyway, I hope you have a fabulous day and that, you know, this was just a story. I think the main themes of the story are, number one, trust your intuition. Trust yourself. You know. Number two, that you don't have to do everything on your own. And in fact, if you are and you feel like you do have to, then maybe there's some healing that you may want to look into. Just a thought. But again, as always, if it's something that you'd like to discuss, I'm open to discussing it with you. Definitely check out my group, Calling All Goddesses, and we have those kind of conversations there. And I hope you have a fabulous day, and we will see you again soon. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please go drop some love on it and leave me a review. It really helps others find my podcast as well. And please know that I really appreciate every single one. Make sure you subscribe as well so you don't miss it when the next episode goes live. And hey, if you know someone that would benefit from and enjoy this or other episodes, please share Becoming Lauren with them too. If you're looking for more connection, join my private Facebook group, Calling All Goddesses, or look me up on Instagram at becoming.thegoddess.lauren. Don't worry, all of the links are in the show notes. One last thing, have yourself a fabulous day and go out there and be your unique and wonderful self, because hey, no one else has that superpower.